Hi, this is John O'Hare from Clear Lake, Iowa. And this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. Learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Next!
Within 5 days, the Cubs have called up their two top prospects from AAA. Last week it was Chris Bryant, now Addison Russell. On this episode, we're going to talk about this call-up, why it happened, and how wrong we were in predicting the timing of it. Like we did with Chris Bryant, we're going to look at the impact Russell will have on the 2015 Cubs. These topics and more on this episode. It is Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015, and you're listening to the 310th episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy Podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
Kurt, you decided to join us. Is there any particular reason why you might want to talk about the Cubs during the middle of the week?
No, just happened to have some free time on this beautiful Wednesday. No, I really wanted to talk about service time issues and the collective bargaining
right. Pitch
coming up.
And Wellington Castillo, David Ross, that situation.
Yep.
You know, Herrera. There's lots of topics to discuss tonight.
Yep.
I kind of figured, I think I sent you a text and I asked you if you wanted to be on the episode. I thought the Addison Russell promotion might entice you.
Yeah, it's been a big week, so I thought I'd see what I could do.
I did
get the kid to bed finally, so I just snuck in under the wire.
I did enjoy your response to my text though, and it was, and I quote, it reads, not sure why you would want me on. I predicted Bryant in late May and Russell in June to August.
This is true. So I hope I can make some more bold predictions tonight. We'll be completely wrong. What other prospects do we need up in a hurry? And then I can predict when they'll come up, and then they'll be up like tomorrow.
Well, you know, predicting this front office is not easy now. They were fairly predictable for the last 3 or 4 years. We recorded Sunday night, and then on Monday, I read a few articles that made the case for calling Russell up this week, and I thought, well, that makes sense. And then Monday night, they call him up. But I do want to say that, and Bob from Moline can verify this, when I was in Vegas last week, I talked about how I thought the Cubs might call up Addison Russell sooner than we would have thought at the beginning of the season. And in fact, I wondered if they wouldn't call up Bryant and Russell at the same time. And that's essentially what they did. Mm-hmm. So I talked about that with Bob last week. And then we got behind mics on Sunday, and I totally played it safe on my prediction. And look what happened. I could have looked brilliant. And I was like, I sat down. I'm like, no, I better be realistic.
That's what a lifetime of being a Cubs fan will kind of do to you.
Right. So unless you live in Tennessee and you can go see the Smokies games regularly, most of us have not seen a ton of Addison Russell. We got to see him a fair amount in spring training. But since he came over in the Samardzija trade last July, he is not a player that we've been able to follow since he was drafted. Unless you're also a big fan and you track the Oakland A's minor league system. But Andy, could you kind of summarize Russell's performance in the minors?
Yeah, he's overall, I mean, he hasn't been in the minors that long. He was drafted as the 11th overall pick in the first round of the 2012 draft, and by Oakland, of course. And he's been in the minors just for four seasons. He's a and so his numbers down there were pretty good. He slashed over those four seasons 301, 377, and 520. And he had an 897 OPS, which is pretty darn good. He showed pretty good play discipline, as he had around a 10% walk rate and a 20% K rate over those four seasons. So numbers are pretty good. Last season, as you mentioned, he spent the bulk of his time in Tennessee, where he hit 294. OBP was 332, slugging 536. Over the course of his time in the minors, he's hit 38 home runs, so he does have some pop in his bat. He's not the speediest guy, but he can run. He had 44 stolen bases over his four-year minor league career as well. Now, as far as the way he's been ranked as a prospect, Baseball Prospectus this season surprised everybody by ranking him number one in the Cubs system over Chris Bryant, and a lot of people saw that as being partly due to positional value, and then where Chris Bryant might end up. So they had him at number one in the Cubs system and number seven overall in their top 101. In 2014, Baseball Prospectus had him ranked number one in the A system overall and number 22 out of their top 101. The past few seasons as far as Keith Law's rankings go, he was ranked fourth overall in Keith Law's top 100 for this season. And that came out in January. He was actually third overall in 2014. So you were wanting me to talk about his elevation in the prospect rankings. He actually went down on Law's list from 2014 to 2015, but he was 10th in 2013 on that same list. So it's been mostly upward, mostly on the up and up as far as his prospect ranking is concerned.
So how long was he in AAA? 10 games?
Yeah, he played 11 games. Oh. He only had 46 plate appearances. So he was not there long.
So what do you guys make of the front office philosophy of we like guys to spend a year in AAA? And we've heard that for a couple of years. What do you make of this 11 games? That's enough.
Yeah, obviously not true. I mean, it's hard to, take a philosophy based on your best prospect or maybe you're one of your best two prospects. I suppose if anybody's going to fall outside the mainstream thought, it's got to be, Russell and Bryant. But it definitely was surprising. I mean, like I said, I predicted that I thought it for sure would be after Super 2. Why not just wait at least to get push that arbitration out? This is a pretty big surprise, I think, to a lot of people. Anybody who says they knew this was happening, they had a source.
I think if the articles that I read made a good case for it and it kind of made sense. I mean, I guess just in looking at, how little production the Cubs were getting from second base. And if this really was, based on what we've seen so far, this looks like a competitive team. And if it's a competitive team, you would hope that your top prospect in the system that's sitting in AAA, regardless of how many games he's been at AAA, you would think that he could probably hold his own or at least outperform what the Cubs had at second base, which was essentially nothing. I mean, I think they were getting less production there than when they had Darwin Barney at second.
Yeah. And I suppose there's some argument to be made, too, that once Bryant was up, what's the point in holding Russell back? Because you could have done the same thing with Russell next year that they did with Bryant this year,
right?
But I think, like I said, the argument could be made: what's the point? I mean, get these two guys on the same track gives you 6 years. Just get the ball rolling. So Yeah, yeah, I definitely liked the move. It was just surprising.
Yeah, and I think the philosophy of wanting prospects to play a full year at AAA, you know, that's fine when there's really no reason to pull them up. I think that's what it boiled down to, was that they were trying to, you know, kind of slow play things to get things to line up like it has. And so I think that philosophy will go out the window now. And I think that they'll call up players when they need them. I think that's pretty much what we're going to see with this group of prospects from here on out.
Well, I mean, I think it's still a case-by-case basis. I mean, you can kind of compare Bryant and Russell. I liked what Kurt said about how these guys are kind of exceptional when you're looking at a typical prospect's path to the bigs. But Chris Bryant had a good, healthy amount of games played in Iowa, but Addison Russell had a more of an extensive minor league career than Chris Bryant. So I don't think it was as important for him to get as much time in at AAA, since he had played in the minors a little bit longer than Bryant.
Yeah. Well, regardless, it happened, and we didn't predict it. Imagine that. But we're talking about it, so that counts for something. For now, it looks like we don't have to worry about what we're going to do with all these shortstops. Castro is staying put, as he has been, in the words of Joe Madden, playing the crap out of shortstop.
I love that.
That may be my favorite Joe Madden line so far.
And the nice thing is, he's not even totally blowing smoke. Like, he has been playing really well. And, like, you know, yeah, he's been playing the crap out of shortstop.
He has.
And hitting.
Right. So. I think this might be a good thing for Castro, that he can play a role rather than carry the, like, you know. We're going to get into this, and we kind of talked about it before on the last episode, but you would head into extra innings last year, and you just knew, okay, if Rizzo and Castro were up and didn't produce anything, you just hope that you could hold on, the pitching staff could hold on for another two innings to give those guys a chance again. And that's not the case now. Like, this lineup is pretty ridiculous. As far as potential, I guess, and what they can do, and what we've seen them do over just a couple of games, but I think that it's good for Castro to not carry the load and not maybe have so much pressure on him. And I've kind of dismissed the whole, oh, he's probably, you know, now Castro's gonna focus and it because he's got competition and he's got Addison Russell. I haven't really bought that. But at the same time, with when the guy standing next to you is somebody that wants your spot, I think it would be easier to, or I think it would be help you maybe be a little bit more determined or something. I don't know. I want to be clear. Like, I don't question Castro's work ethic or anything like that. I think he's fantastic.
Well, and I think that's what's, and we've said this before too, but like, how easy it is to discount established major league talent over prospects. Like,
right.
Prospects are still prospects. Addison Russell is still a prospect, and he's probably going to be a damn good player, but Starlin Castro is already a good player. He's already a three-time All-Star, you know.
Right.
He's already close, you know, he's going to hit 1,000 hits in no time. You know, it's like, he's already
batted a really 300.
Good major league baseball player. And that's what you hope prospects become, is really good major league baseball players. They're not all going to be Hall of Famers. And so, like, just to discount that for the next, you know, big thing is a mistake, I think.
Right.
Even though he sometimes forgets where he is.
I find it endearing, though. Yeah. I love when he goes up with sunflower seeds and warms up by hitting them, spitting them, and then hitting them. His lip. I love it.
Or he throws a whole handful at his face and one goes in his mouth.
That's my favorite video that I have on my phone right now, is the one where he's spitting sunflower seeds and trying to hit them with his bat in the on, or like stepping outside of the batter's box to do it. I love it. So the infield will be Bryant at third, Castro at short, Russell at second, and Rizzo at first. Rizzo is the veteran at age 25. Although we kind of laugh about that, but he does play like a veteran. And here's something to make you guys feel old. Every Cubs infielder was born after lights were installed at Wrigley Field.
Wow. That is pretty ridiculous when you put it that way.
That's my scary stat of the week.
Yeah.
Actually, I do have a scary stat of the week. Do you have one, Kurt?
I mean, I don't.
Yeah, because we don't do the scary stats, but I heard it on the way over here. And actually, I was coaching baseball and t-ball tonight and on listening to Cubs on the way back. And I actually saw this on Twitter last night. And I believe the stat is that last season, the Cubs were 0-79 when trailing in the ninth inning, which
is brutal.
It's like, I don't think you can come up with a scarier stat.
That's brutal. And they've already broken that streak this season, right, which is great.
Yeah.
My goodness.
In fact, it's like you come to expect it. Like they're down in the eighth. You're like, yeah, no worries. It's fine.
Right. I know. Isn't that amazing? Like, it's the most confident I have been. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm allowing myself to be more optimistic than I probably should be, but I'm just having fun with it. Like, it's just, it's a lot of fun to watch these games. And then, like, you know, when you see Rizzo, Soler, Bryant coming up, it's just like, wow. I
know. And those guys are like getting on base right now. I mean, they're all playing so well, but man, this is totally uncharted waters for us. Like, we have never just sat here and basically, like, essentially we're Beavis and Butthead right now. Like it's just like Chris Bryant. Oh man.
Beavis and Butthead and one more. I don't know what, right, what number
three is. Right. Like, we're probably just two buttheads.
Beavis. But I mean, I don't know. I really like, this is my conversation that I'm having with Cubs fans right now. Like, I go to work and I'm just like, this is amazing. I love this. I love this feeling. I love, like you said, Andy, I love when the Cubs are down by a run or two and you look at that lineup and it's like, it is relentless. You know, I mean, there is just no easy out right now. Well, I mean, there is an easy out, but every inning is potentially huge for the Cubs. But I don't know. To jump back, to get off of the offense for a while, for a second, you know, with that infield of Bryant, Castro, Russell, and Rizzo, I love that infield. You know, like, defensively, I love that infield. And I mean, I think it's, you know, I don't think Bryant is the strongest third baseman. We talked about that Sunday night, but that double play combination of Castro and Russell could be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think once Russell especially gets comfortable at second, which you can tell there are times when he's a little off. He's doing a good job because, you know, he's never really played there, but
he had an error tonight.
There are moments when he's a little off, but when he gets comfortable over there, it's going
to
be.
When I was listening to the radio last night for his debut game, and they interviewed him before the game, and he talked about, really, you know, that he needed to work on his footwork because the footwork at second base is so different than at shortstop. So,
and that's what the error looked like tonight. It looked like he had trouble, like, getting his body in the right position to be able to make the play, and it kind of looked like he was sort of thinking shortstop type footwork slash angles when he tried to make the play on the ball. Yeah. To me, I mean, of course I'm an expert when it comes to noticing that stuff. So,
Andy's our infield expert.
I am a peewee coach. So I'll go along with that. Here's the thing about peewee coach and peewee. Can we talk about coach and peewee kids for a second? No grasp of the strike zone at all.
And I'm imagining a bunch of little peewee Hermans running around for some reason.
No, this is like they're like let's see, what are they? Like 8, 9, and 10, somewhere in there. They just swing at everything.
Well, they're just trying to keep up the pace of play.
Right. And all I'm doing is trying to not hit them as I'm pitching to them. Like, so in the next practice, like every fourth or fifth pitch, I'm just going to throw like halfway up the backstop and see if they swing at it. And then make them run a lap. Oh, man. I don't know. Okay, so this is probably a good transition into the discussion that we had, what, 3 days ago? Would you like to change your expectations for the 2015 Cubs?
Are you sure you don't want to word it like you put in the dot in the Google Doc where you said, is it safe to get really excited?
I capitalized.
Yeah, you put it in all caps.
Well, I was excited. I don't remember doing that.
It's totally safe to get really excited. I've already been there. But I'm still cautious on upping the number too much because we haven't seen them come out of a slump or play, you know,
that's true.
Go into There's a so slump, much, yeah. Play through it, come out of it the other side without being... I mean, right now everybody's happy because they're winning, but...
I don't think they're going to slump, Kurt.
Yeah.
I think they're going to, you know, I think Soler and Bryant are going to hit... Four something, and I think this is the 2015 Cubs.
There you go. Well, then I can't argue with that.
Well, teams are going to start to have, and along came Debbie Downer, but teams are going to start to have more and more of a book on these guys. That being said, I mean, just watching Bryant bat, I mean, this is pretty well documented too that he doesn't have a lot of holes in his swing. I mean, they're there, but
see, and I had heard that when he was in the minors, you know, you heard about what a complete hit batter he was. And I was just kind of like, yeah, he's facing, you know, double A pitching or triple A. Yeah, whatever. And then you watch him. And I mean, like we talked about in the last episode, you watch the adjustments that he, you know, James Shields had him figured out. And within a game, Russell adjusted and was taking pitches and taking walks and just getting on base. And it's like, it just feels like, I mean, other than I think he made the last out in the loss tonight, but it feels like every time he gets up, he gets on base.
Well, and just the number of pitches he sees in an at bat. Like,
yes. Yeah. He works a lot of full counts.
Like, yep.
Some and of the pitches
he's afraid able to accept the walk.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Like some of the pitches he's able to lay off. I mean, it just seems like experience beyond his years.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm really having to work hard to keep my excitement and my expectations in check. I don't know. It's hard for me right now. I guess calling up Bryant and Russell have me excited, but you combine that with the fact that so many other players, you know, like Rizzo and Castro and Soler, they're doing so well. And really Alcantara is the only player that was really struggling and he got sent to Iowa. But and I guess the catchers aren't putting up huge numbers, but Montero's come through with some timely hitting. Mm-hmm. He did again tonight. But these guys are getting on base, and I think that can leave us frustrated if they're not able to knock guys in. But if you're getting on base, things are going to balance out, and they will score a lot of runs. And it seems like they're not leaving. It seems like they're getting guys in right now.
Yeah, if you get on base as much as they're getting on base, you will strand some guys. You're not going to score all.
Right.
So.
But. I predicted, 83 to 85 wins. And when I made that prediction, I was looking at the opening day roster that wasn't a ton better than last year's roster. We knew Bryant was going to come up. We didn't know exactly when. We figured we'd probably see Addison Russell this season. You know, the lineup in August and September was going to look a lot different than the opening day roster. But I kind of kept my expectations in check because of that opening day lineup. But here we are in the third week, and the Cubs have called up their two best prospects, two of the best prospects in baseball. And so, you know, so so many other players in the starting lineup are playing really well. The starting pitching looks good. And I look at that lineup and then I look at the Cardinals lineup. Hashtag let's go. It's kind of funny. I tweeted yesterday that, you know, that the condescending smirk or whatever from Cardinals fans was going to turn into nervous laughter. I work with a Cardinals fan. Yesterday I got the condescending smirk. Today he was sweating. Like he basically said, yeah, if unless things change with both teams, this is not going to be pretty. You know, the Cardinals haven't been able to produce much offensively, and he was just like, these Cubs can just like score whenever they want, you know.
Well, and the exciting thing too is like this is just the beginning of it. Like, I know. You got all of these guys locked up for 6 more years.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Get ready, St. Louis. Yeah. Man, it's going to be so like I know over the next few years it's going to be a really fun division. I really hope it is this year. Like it would be disappointing for, you know, I hate to say it, but like I hope that at this point, I kind of feel like it would be disappointing if they won 83 games. And even though I think that would still put them in the hunt, you know, up till the last week or so. I don't know. I'm mentally and emotionally ready for just full on those two teams going at it and it coming down to the wire or just crushing them. I would be okay with that.
See, and I'm still squarely in accepting
I'm trying.
A chance at a wild card.
I'm trying.
Like, to me, that's still a huge success. Like 10 game improvement over last year is a big deal.
You're right.
And to be this young and do it, I think could still be a success.
Yeah. I just think it's way too early really to get too terribly excited because, you know, there's a lot of milestones between now and going to the playoffs. And there's a lot of steps, a lot of, you know, let's get to 5 games over 500 and then let's get to 10 games. You know, it's just kind of like let's run off, you know, 6 wins in a row. Let's sweep a couple teams. I mean, that's kind of what we need to see now, I think.
Yeah. Well, let's start with just taking 3 out of 4 against the Pirates
in
Pittsburgh. That'd be a good one.
Right, yeah. And then go to Cincinnati, who, man, those guys are... I love seeing
that train wreck.
Yeah, me too. And I have a friend that's a Reds podcaster. I listen to their show just to know what's going on. And I got a huge kick at their very first episode of the season. They were very confident in Kevin Gregg. This last episode was hilarious because they are no longer in any way confident in Kevin Gregg. Like they looked at that good, you know, kind of unexpected good season that Kevin Gregg had with the Cubs. And I think they thought that's what he was.
Oh, man. That's rough.
But. One other thing I saw that I wanted to share, shared the 0-79 when they were trailing in the ninth inning last year. At Wrigley Blog on Twitter shared this last night. The Cubs have spent more days above 500 this year than in the last 5 seasons combined.
Oh, man.
That is brutal. Oh.
So, yeah.
But awesome.
So I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about? Well, I mean, I have
one more off script topic I can throw at you guys that you could wing. No preparation. I would like somebody to explain to me why the hell David Ross is worthy of a roster spot. And I get that he's Lester's catcher and he worked with them before and I get all that, but what the hell? I don't get it. Like Wellington has proven that he is at least a good platoon guy
but,
for his offense. But come on. I mean, Ross's receiving cannot be good enough to carry him on a roster spot as a third catcher. And everybody talks about the three catchers, and it's like Wellington's the odd man out. And why is Ross not the odd man out?
Well, I think Wellington has potential to be a starter. Ross doesn't. Like, Ross is a prototypical backup catcher, and that's exactly what the Cubs need. They don't need two starters, and so that's why they're just sitting there waiting for someone to need Wellington Castillo. I don't think you want Wellington Castillo as your backup. That's just a waste.
He's also, by all accounts, a great guy to have in the clubhouse. In fact, it may have been Arrieta, but somebody on Twitter the other day was asked who the funniest person was in the clubhouse, but whatever the question was, they said Ross as their answer. But I got to imagine he's a great veteran presence in the clubhouse.
I think
that's part of it too.
I mean, and I guess I do think there's some value in that, but I don't think that's full. This is me talking. I don't think it's worth a full roster spot when you consider, you know, and I get that Wellington could start on a lot of teams, but guess what? He's under the Cubs control. The Cubs control him. So what the Cubs want to do with him is their prerogative. And if you could land a couple of prospects, awesome, but you know, he only makes a couple million dollars. He's not going to be a free agent for a long time. I don't know. This is a lot based on how well he's been playing, but it just feels like let them platoon. And
yeah, I don't think you want to do that. I mean,
So what's the optimum scenario? So, because to me, it's like, okay, so a team loses a catcher, they get desperate, they come shopping for Wellington. His return is going to be decent, but not great.
No, I don't even think it's going to be. Yeah, I don't even. I'm not even real sure it's going to be decent. At this point,
I mean, it's like a low. I mean, it's a.
I'd take a couple of bullpen arms.
Right. So, I'm just talking like in terms of value. To me, Wellington Castillo is better on this team than he is for a couple of single A pitchers. Because you control him for another what?
Yeah, but you can't have him. I don't think you can do a true platoon when you value Montero's framing abilities so much. I don't think you're going to give up. I mean, you want Montero to be your starter.
Sure.
And you don't want Castillo to be your backup.
I don't know. I take Castillo as the backup at this point. I know I'm probably sounding crazy right now, but it's just like Ross. I mean, I just can't understand how a guy earns a roster spot hitting like 140.
Yeah, but he's that's your prototypical backup. I mean, that's Paul Bacco and freaking Coy Hill, and you know that's what that is.
Yeah, but I just feel like the Cubs are in a different spot with having the three. But I don't know. I'm looking.
Castillo's not going to be around
of value. I get it. Like he doesn't make sense as a backup, but to me, it's just value to value. He's more valuable as your backup catcher than two crappy single A arms who are never going to make the major leagues are.
Well, I think they'll get more than that.
Yeah. Single A guy. They're going to get a couple of single A pitchers.
Wow.
Making predictions.
Yeah. Again. Keep making predictions, Kurt. All right. They're going to trade him for like friggin' Mike Trout.
Yeah. If that's the case, go for it. I will not stand in your way. Oh man, I'm sorry. I don't know. He's frustrated me. I don't get having him on there, but I do get you need a good backup catcher. But if you're going to carry three, I don't know. One's got to go.
Yeah, one's got to go, and it's the one that is a starter that you've decided is not going to be your starter.
All right, we'll revisit this conversation when he is traded, because he will be. I get it. He'll be traded, and when it's like, all right, let's look up these guys. Like, were you guys able to find any stats on this guy from single A, low A, short season?
Modesto.
Yeah. I don't know. I never heard
of Camp Louisiana. Yeah.
We'll have this conversation again.
All right. And
try to figure out what Welly was worth.
We'll revisit this.
What Welly was worth. Some great alliteration there.
Anything else you guys wanted to talk about? I mean, we kind of set this whole episode aside to discuss Addison Russell and, you know, kind of just where the Cubs are right now. I mean, it's like every, I don't know, this is pretty amazing to have two episodes within like, what, 3 or 4 days, And it's like, hey, here's a reason to get excited. Oh, this is really cool. And then, hey, here's another reason to get really excited. I just don't know how to handle this, guys.
Yeah, it's hard. Hard to deal with. I don't know where to put my arms.
So we still have some tickets left for our bus trip, and I want to get rid of them. And if what we've watched in the last few days does not make you want to jump on a charter bus and take it to a Cubs game in August, I don't know what will. I give up. So we don't have that many left, but I just want to get rid of them because it's like weighing on me. So if you're in the area, or even if you're not, check it out at ivmv.com/bus. One of our Patreon associate producers, Ryan, he's flying in from Florida for the bus trip. So if you don't live in the area and you would plan a trip to see these Cubs, then consider doing our bus trip. Staying in the Quad Cities and doing the bus trip would be way cheaper than staying in Chicago, and plus you would get to enjoy the bus ride with a good group of IVMV listeners. So again, check it out at ivmv.com/bus, and you can buy your tickets from there. If you do the Facebook and Twitter thing, which I'm sure you do, give us a follow for commentary throughout the week on all things Cubs. We are at IVMV on Twitter and ivmv.com/Facebook. So the photo caption contest, I couldn't. This is exactly the picture I was looking for, and I had to dig for it, and I shouldn't have had to dig because I should know that when you need a picture, you go to Boys of Spring.
Yeah. So the picture is Addison Russell and Chris Bryant, and they are just sitting there, just having a moment. Not sitting, standing. They're having a moment, and they have their Ernie Banks number 14 caps on. And I can't get the picture to load.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really just the two players standing next to each other. I'm assuming they're talking to each other through a pitching change or something like that. So there is no, visual humor or anything going on like that. I don't know the right term to use, but it's a pretty straightforward picture. So okay, do you have the captions in front of you, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. So the first one is from Jason. Jason from New Mexico. And it says, I bet you a cheeseburger I get a homer in the majors before you. Looks like the cheeseburger betting types. Caleb says, hey, Chris, you may have gotten all the hype, but they've already named a street after me. Justin wrote, hey, after this, you want to get a roast beef sandwich with some horsey sauce? And it says horsey sauce reference in parentheses.
We haven't had a horsey sauce reference in a long time.
No, man. Let's see what we have next. Chris made a just a kind of a meme-esque version of the photo that just says, you ready? Let's go. Clint wrote, I bet you a cheeseburger I get a bobblehead before you. Scott says, we're going to make Boris a lot of money.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm glad he restrained himself from putting a dollar sign for the S in Boris. I think a lot of people have trouble exercising restraint on that front. Nick wrote, no, seriously, I'll just get a 2-bedroom and beg Theo to call you up so I don't get stuck paying the whole rent. Don't worry, he'll owe me a favor or two. Nick also wrote, what the hell? We're all wearing the number 14 this year? Michael wrote, so I plan to give the first World Series ring to my mom. The second one I'll keep, and all the rest will go to Mark Pryor. Oh, man.
Yeah, what do you guys think about Addison Russell wearing number 22?
I'm cool with it.
I know. Although, what? Didn't Carlos Pena, I think he wore 22?
That sounds right.
I don't know.
Well, then in that case, I'm not fine with it.
Didn't Garza wear 22?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Anyway, Daniel wrote, did you tell Coach Madden what we did in his motorhome that he let us use in Iowa? Hope we got the panties and smell out. Brian just wrote, what curse? Hoke, our buddy, says, so these are the guys who get to make the opening day roster, huh? Wonder which ones are going to be looking for work in May. Jason says, Addison, you couldn't give me at least give me a week. Adam writes, oh man, did you get that number 14 hat from DeBlasio's tuxedo shop on Cicero? That guy told me I'd be the only one at prom with this outfit. So embarrassed. And now I really look like an out-of-towner for not pronouncing that correctly. Totally a Chicagoan, guys. Luis says, Russell, holy shit, it's Rizzo. Rizzo is here. Great. Oh, shit. Bryant, great. He's probably saying, holy shit, it's Bryant and Russell. Russell, yeah, I'm sure he's saying that. And then it's a Top Gun reference, Maverick and Goose reference, which I thought about Top Gun today because there was a guy at work like kind of like fumbling, like fidgeting around with a volleyball in the hallway.
You know, I've never seen Top Gun.
Oh, geez, Merry Christmas. Just to look up after this Top Gun volleyball scene. That's all you need.
That's the only scene from the movie I need to see.
Yep.
Okay.
You need to see the whole thing because it's classic.
80s. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, just the volleyball scene. Jeff says, Russell, is this heaven? Bryant, it's Wrigley Field. Russell, Wrigley Field, I could have sworn this was heaven. And that's a Field of Dreams reference. Uh-huh. And that's our last entry.
All right. I think I know which one I would vote for. I have to find it. Oh, I kind of like the Nick from Wisconsin's. No, seriously, I'll just get a 2-bedroom and beg Theo to call you up so I don't get stuck paying the whole rent. Don't worry, he'll owe me a favor too.
I like that one. Do you have one, Kurt?
I really like Jason's. Addison, you couldn't at least give me a week.
Yeah, that would have been my second choice.
That's my pick, I would say.
All right, Jason, I believe he's a first time winner.
Yeah, I think so.
Not that I would really remember because we haven't done these in like a year. So so congratulations, Jason, especially if it's your first time winning. You win nothing. Although, one thing I do want to give away is the night, Andy, when we were at Duffy's on opening night, Duffy's gave out koozies for opening night. And, of course, they used the copyright Cubs logo for it.
Always a good call.
Wise decision. But anyways, so I got one of those koozies. And one of these weeks here, we will announce it ahead of time. And that will be the prize for the winner for the photo caption contest. So
nice.
Yeah. So before we wrap this thing up, last week I met with an advertising broker that is quite interested in hooking our podcast up with advertisers. I've been reluctant with this idea because I was concerned that the advertisers wouldn't be a good fit for you, the listener. And since I was able to meet with them in person, I could hash out some of the details. And like I said, they're pretty eager to work with us. And the first step is to ask you to fill out an audience survey for us. We asked you to fill one of these out about a year ago. And I will say that this time it is way, way more easy. Kurt, did you say you filled one out?
I did.
Yeah. It's
very easy.
It's like 7 demographic questions. All of them are on one page. I think it would be 30 seconds. That would be my estimate of how long.
If it took you a minute, then you've never used a computer before.
Then you have racial confusion.
You're not sure who you are.
Yeah. So if you would take 30 seconds out of your day to go to ivmv.com/survey, that would be awesome. Literally 30 seconds. Should not take you more than that. So again, it's ivmv.com/survey. So that is it for this episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. And if you would like to help keep this podcast going and pay the bills, then check out patreon.com/IVMV. There are lots of perks and you can get cool things like IVMV pint glasses, posters, stuff like that. So again, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So we will be back on Sunday evening. I'm assuming that the Cubs won't call up another prospect between now and then, top prospect, unless Schwarber just gets called up. Who knows? I don't even know. Vogelbach hitting the crap out of the ball. Maybe they'll call him up. So the Cubs wrap up this series with the Pirates on Thursday. It is a day game, and then they go to Cincinnati for a weekend series with the Reds. If you have not checked out the Daily Northside Recap, this is a daily Monday through Friday podcast that is under the IVMV umbrella, but it's separate from this podcast. You can subscribe for free in iTunes, Stitcher, or you can listen at dailynorthsiderecap.com. And on these episodes, I recap the previous day's games in the Cubs organization, from the Cubs down through the minors, Iowa, Tennessee, Myrtle Beach, and South Bend. And it's there for you first thing in the morning. So if you have, you know, 5 minutes on your commute to work or school or whatever, check it out and get it up to get up to date with the results. So thank you for listening, and until Sunday evening, go Cubs.